Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 79, Episode 3 of Dirt Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
A podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially, off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News.
Fuck
it's Wednesday, April 24th, 2019. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Smooth Jack O'Brien. Smooth Jack O'Brien. That is courtesy of Mr. B at I Am Virus, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Hakuna Matata, what a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata, ain't no passing craze. It means no miles for the rest of your grays. It's our Fox News free philosophy. Hakuna Matata. Thank you to As Soldiers Hannah.
Woo!
For that one. You know, thank you. Give me the Timon and Pumbaa sirens for that one.
And whoever wrote that song, not getting paid.
Not getting paid. And you know what? That's your fault for fucking with Disney.
Yep.
And also, it's April 24th, so I want to shout out all my Armenians who are listening to the show. April 24th is a day of remembrance for the Armenian genocide. So shout out to all y'all. I see y'all riding around North Hollywood, Glendale with the flags. To all my Armenian people, Badev.
We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian Lisa Chenu, a.k.a. if you don't know, now Chenu.
Oh, good one. Love that. I did love that.
Yeah, drop the bomb on that one.
All right.
Wow, hitting them off.
I love your last name.
What is it? Is it the Frenchness of it? The O-U-X?
Yeah, I don't know. Chenu.
Yeah. Are you a LSU fan? So you can say Go Tigers?
No.
Oh, you don't have to
G-A-U-X? Saints, Tigers.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Just only limited, it's very limited to a
very
love
limited
of
to
your French last name.
Lisa's
Are
last
you
name.
French?
My dad was half French.
Okay.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, that's French enough for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
welcome. You're a first-time guest. We're thrilled to have you. You fit right in to the conversation the second you walked into the studio. And we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment.
Thanks.
First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. We're just going to look forward to the Avengers Endgame. The anticipation is building.
Oh, shit.
We're going to talk about an NBA Mengazi.
Mengazi.
We're going to check in with the SCOTUS as we wait for their probably completely fucked decision on LGBTQ discrimination. We're going to talk about Biden, when he's going to announce. Apparently, it is tomorrow, Thursday.
Yeah.
Herman Cain is out as your Fed nominee, but not just because he'd be really bad at the job. It's because he's too lit.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Sri Lanka. We're going to talk about Wisconsin being the number one state for frozen pizza consumption and the Playboy Club. All of that and more. But first, Lisa, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I was looking at my search history and I was like, this is so embarrassing because everything I Google is, can I give my dog this human food? Pretty much everything.
Right.
So what were the last few offerings?
Bacon, pineapple, strawberry, yes, he can. I think those are the last few I remember.
Yes,
you had some leftover pineapple?
Celery. Well, if I'm like cutting it, I'll like
give
him
a piece.
Oh, yeah,
hook it up.
Yeah.
Okay. He is accustomed to kind of coming up and begging for scraps.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, our dog is...
just a beggar.
Oh, yeah.
Thinks he's a chooser.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nonstop.
I mean, I feel like with meat, I'm always, I don't think twice if it's like a meat thing. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure you can eat this Whopper.
Yeah.
With cheese. But then he has fruits that I'm always kind of get, I always look up because I'm like, you never know what is not good.
What's
for
the fruit? Is blueberries not all right? Or
blueberries is fine. Avocados, no.
Avocados, no?
Yeah.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Our dog likes every food except bananas.
Ooh.
Really?
Will not fuck with bananas.
My dog's so picky. Like, I give him an apple slice, and then he'll just leave the skin.
Oh, shit.
I'm like, geez.
That takes skill.
Would you please cut the crusts off this sandwich?
Yeah, exactly.
Please?
Just looks at it like, wow, somebody's getting lazy.
Right.
And you're like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. Our dog is so about the scraps that I will just find like a dried noodle like in his fur somewhere because he just like knows when my son is gonna like drop some piece of food.
Oh, right,
and, like,
right, right.
So he's just always, it's like falling on his head constantly.
Like manna from heaven.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated. I'm going to say food trucks. I feel
food
like
trucks.
They're overrated. I feel like they're done. I feel like it's enough.
Okay. Let's talk some shit.
Okay.
Did you go to one recently and you're like, you know what? This ain't it anymore.
It's not that because I do feel like the taco trucks are like fine, but only because the price point is good.
Taco trucks are great because it's right. It's affordable and it's like for the people. It's of the people and it's delicious. But like when you go to, on the way to work today, I got cut off by the Dr. Deli fucking truck. Motherfucker cut me off so hard. And you know, I'm trying to practice Zen shit. I'm going through some shit right now and I'm really trying to get a hold of myself. Excuse me. But when the Dr. Deli cut me off and I just saw like the hokiness of it and they're like charging all this money for pastrami grilled cheese, that is not interesting to me.
Do you know if he was on his way to a deli-related medical emergency?
What? Because that's the whole thing. Right. That's the thing I don't like about some of these trucks is how like kitschy or like gimmicky they are with their menus. Because on that thing, it literally was a prescription for a grilled cheese pastrami sandwich with Parmesan fries. Thank you, 2007.
Yeah,
I've seen that menu combination before.
Also, it's like $18.
Right.
It's not like
Dr. Deli is.
Any like
I don't know about Dr. Deli. You know, I don't wanna, if their prices are fair, then I don't want to bring you into this. But you did cut me off, motherfucker.
Any of those where it's like a specialty waffle truck, you're like, fuck this.
Right,
it's gonna
be
so expensive, and it's not even gonna be a good waffle. Like, just no. I'm
you're
against.
Like, can you get me a lengua taco for less than $1?
Yeah,
because
if
you can, I'm all for it, and I'm here.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, I will say the good thing is that it allows different people to get into the restaurant game without having to pay the overhead for for a spot.
I'm not saying they're evil.
And where Cracked was located back in the day in Santa Monica, we just had like mobile. Yeah,
right.
There was just a like mobile food court that was always showing up. But it's also tricky because, man, there are some like the difference between a bad food truck and a good food truck is just
wild.
Is wide.
I do want to shout out Vicho's, the Salvadoran food truck with the pupusas. That's a modern-y food truck that I'm like, yes,
yeah,
I'm here for that too.
Pupusas.
Yeah, I love pupusas, man.
What is underrated besides pupusas?
Monogamy.
Monogamy is underrated.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Controversial.
Yeah.
You're telling me.
Not
serial
a lot of
womanizers
great
in here.
Not a lot of great movies made about just really great monogamous relationships.
I mean,
was The Notebook
start
like that? Could you consider The Notebook about monogamy?
I'd never seen it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it probably is kind of about that, but it's also about mental illness, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of other things going on.
Well,
they
have Alzheimer's. One of them.
Yeah,
yeah, at least one of them. I don't know. It's been a while.
Oh, spoiler alert.
It's been a while.
Well,
yeah.
I think literally 15 years. Didn't that come out in 2004 or something?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Monogamy. Tell me more.
I just think that, I'm a stand-up comedian and I feel like I hear all this talk about how like cool it is to be open and that's great. If that's your thing, that's cool. But I think monogamy is cool too.
What is it? What's the advantage for you? The value that you feel people aren't seeing in monogamy? Like, I guess with the openness, people are like, "Well, you can try whatever you want. You can be a little more free." And if that's your vibe, you know, that's your vibe. But some people need consistency, I guess.
I think a lot of times that for me, the parts of relationships that are hard are what makes it more valuable to me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we've been through this together. We've gone through this thing. To me, that provides me with a lot of comfort and security. And maybe for other people, it doesn't.
Sure.
But that's why I think that monogamy is underrated.
Yeah. Easy to take for granted. But it can be an amazing thing.
Yeah. I mean, if I didn't have Her Majesty, my partner, by my side when I found out Taco Bell wasn't serving Mexi Melts anymore.
Fuck.
Would you be here?
I just found out right now.
Yeah. But luckily, our listeners are so fucking about that life. They taught me the menu hack. You know, get a cheesy roll up, add beef, add pico, blood out, hacked Mexi Melt with actually even more beef.
Wow.
So, you know, the Lord taketh and the Lord giveth back.
Okay.
Is how I see it. But yeah, that's true. Like, there is something to the hard parts of life that do add a dimension, like a depth or quality to a relationship. But I guess I wonder if that's a thing, like if that's just the nourishment we need in our relationships, that someone who is more has like an open relationship isn't as interested in that, because maybe it's about literally the actual being able to love as many different people as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to shit on people who are in open relationships. I just think monogamy is underrated.
Yeah, the only people we're shitting on are people at Taco Bell for taking the Mexican.
Yeah, that's
off
fucked up.
And making me sound wild when I'm trying to reverse engineer that shit at the drive-thru.
And I think just in general, like in the same way that like certain crimes are overreported because they're just like more interesting and get better ratings, like, you know, monogamy just doesn't really get talked about because it's somewhat boring. But it is a thing that probably gets culturally underrated.
People think it's not cool, and it's actually really hard.
Welcome to the new show called, yeah, I guess our single friends are having fun, but there's like also something pretty tight to being in a loving relationship too.
That's right. And finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
That buffets are good.
That buffets are good.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Ooh.
All buffets.
All buffets?
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Like, I guess there are exceptions to every rule, but yeah, generally,
Generally,
they all suck.
What do you think, when in your mind, the kind of buffet you're being like, that's a bullshit buffet? What are we talking about?
Like Vegas buffet.
Oh, shit.
Like, anywhere, Soup Plantation, anything of what?
Those mini ice creams. Yo, fuck Soup Plantation. I mean, I don't really care, but...
Yeah, but you could get ice cream somewhere else.
That's very
true.
Yeah,
totally.
I didn't know that, though. After the show, if you could tell me some other places to get ice cream.
Yeah.
I thought it was only a Soup Plantation. I just, you know what? The only reason I recoiled was because I love a breakfast buffet.
Yeah.
And that's where I think it's a little bit different.
Like a hotel in the morning?
Yeah, or like on a cruise ship.
Okay. Mm.
Like, I'm nasty. You know, I like a fuck. I just want to blow the plate up with just, I'm a nasty breakfast eating motherfucker. And I just want to have like, because on a cruise ship, they have like international breakfast. So they'll have bangers too. You know what I mean?
Right.
Then they'll also have like little eggs Benny, you know, if that's your jam. And then Asian stuff too. I was like, what? Miso soup?
Yeah.
And eggs Benedict with bacon?
Damn. I got to go on your cruise ship.
Sounds gross. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, no, I know. That's what I'm saying. And I'm a self-proclaimed nasty buffet dude.
Okay.
Right. But I know that they're also when you get into like the actual like a dinner buffet, that's when the quality is just like shit. I think just breakfast, it's easier for me to lower my bar for quality.
Yeah.
The quality's gross. Also, I mean, it's so much easier to get sick because people are just touching stuff with their hands and like doing the most. It's so bad.
Yeah. Well, breakfast buffets.
Breakfast.
That's the only one I'll defend. Okay. And then, but even when, like, in Vegas, too, there's, like, the ones that are, like, good.
Prime rib.
Are, like, $65. And even then, you're like, I'll just go to a fucking restaurant. I'm like,
but it's all you can eat.
Yeah, but you expect
it to be good. And it's not. And also, like, the service is usually okay.
Yeah. Right.
Like, they come and fill your drinks up or, you know, however often is, like, right. And I bet those people probably don't even get like tipped or anything because people are just like, oh,
well,
you're well, I didn't
supposed
get served.
To.
Yeah, I know. But
yeah. Oh, right. That people be like, it's a buff. I actually did all the work.
Right.
Even though you cleaned up my nasty ass mess, like in between me getting new plates and shit.
Yeah.
Again, no, always tip. Don't be a dick.
Always tip. Real quick, we wanted to bring up the fact this has been an ongoing survey ever since yesterday when we talked about the stomach pump rumor. We've gotten some wild ass answers on who people heard that rumor about. And Lisa, you said that you didn't really have the stomach pump rumor. You had heard the Marilyn Manson
removing a rib for auto fellatio.
That seems to be the number one rumor everybody heard in high school.
I don't think there's anybody who was alive between the years of 1997 and 1999 who did not hear something to that effect.
Right. I had actually also heard it about Prince, I think, at one
point. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I'll leave him
in the 70s or early 80s. No.
in the 70s, you know, when I was in elementary
when I was
school.
In high school. But yeah, we heard Alanis Morissette, Britney Spears. So it's basically any woman that like made men slightly uncomfortable or made young men slightly uncomfortable.
Right.
And then any dude who was like a little bit like, you know, fluid when it comes to like there was Elton John, there was a UK rock star who I wasn't familiar with, but I think sang Tainted Love was the UK version of that rumor.
When you know you've made it.
Yeah.
If you get the wild homophobic myth about you.
Dude, I can't wait to get my stomach pumped.
Right. You're like, see, told y'all.
Would people please start that rumor about me?
Was I maybe gang not? Might oblige?
Maybe not. Miles is looking at me like maybe that's not a good idea.
I mean, it's better that they start organic. You don't want to look thirsty,
right,
pun intended.
That's true. You don't want to be too thirsty because then you might have to get your stomach pumped.
Exactly. Yeah, just exactly. To let it happen. Let the controversial shit just come to you organically.
And who knows? It could organically happen. We were also talking about New Kids on the Block. Had a bunch of hits. Chinese food.
Mm, makes me sick.
But I love when girls stop by.
Fuck you. fuck you.
No, we were talking about this rumor that the New Kids on the Block, like, I think the rumor I heard was that New Kids on the Block, like, a doctor found other members of New Kids on the Block's semen in the butt of, like, one of the other members. And Miles was like, yeah, because of that. Always common medical practice where you go in for a checkup and they check your butt to see if there's semen
and they cross-reference that with people you know.
And there's thousands of untested rape kits in the police department.
But we gotta,
check out these new kids.
Yeah,
yeah.
What was Donnie up to?
Maybe that's why that one didn't spread too.
Oh,
because
of Donnie.
Was Donnie a new kid? Yeah,
Donnie's
in
New Kids. And I'm pretty
Marky
sure
Mark wasn't the one that was in New Kids. No, he had his own lane.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. The Wahlberg family.
Don't slander Jordan, though.
Right.
He didn't deserve anything. He didn't
Jordan
deserve
Knight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's all I'm going to say.
Classic front man. All right, guys. Let's talk about Avengers Endgame. The anticipation is building. Miles, you said you've never seen an Avengers movie.
Nah. I've never
seen
an Avengers movie.
Man, you were going to.
I think, what was one of the first big Marvel movies to come out of the Disney side of things, or the
Iron Man,
right?
Yeah,
I was there for Iron Man. I was there for Iron Man 2.
Yeah,
I was there for Iron Man 3. Man,
real good.
Ohita Iron Man. I was there, and then like Thor came out. I wasn't a big Thor fan because I was just like, dude, he's just got a hammer,
right?
And just as a comic, I never really read Thor. I read X Men, so I've seen every X Men film. And then Marvel just came out with new shit like every couple months that I just got overwhelmed and I just kind of gave up. I was like, I can't keep up. And I'm not good at watching movies.
You refused to see Black Panther too, right?
I've been lying about that too. No, I was saying that's the one Marvel film that I have seen and had seen repeatedly. But I got overwhelmed. It hit me too hard and fast. And then I'm like such a person who likes to read everything and know about everything that at that point when the Avengers film came out, I had people telling me like, oh, well, they all connect. It's really cool how they connect with the other films. Right. And I was like, then this is probably wasted on me because I have not seen any of the other ones. And that built on itself, snowball effect, and here I am. I'm the ignorant one during this huge cultural moment.
Yeah. Speaking of the stomach pump rumor.
Yeah.
Snowball effect. Lisa, you're an Avengers fan.
Jacked. Can't wait to see it. I'm sure it's going to be great.
Yeah.
I do feel like every time you watch one, you do feel like you want to watch all of the other ones over again. So I totally get being overwhelmed. Like when Infinity War came out, my boyfriend and I were like, let's see like which ones are on Netflix. And of course, there's like none.
Right.
But we were like, oh, we'll see if we can like find a way to watch them.
And now there's a ton on Netflix. I feel like I don't even have excuses anymore because like most of them are accessible.
Yeah,
you
can find them.
I did have a similar issue with Thor too, though. But
Ragnarok is actually really funny. So fucking good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seen Ragnarok?
I started watching it and I was too high.
Oh yeah.
And when I woke up, the credits were happening.
Yeah.
But it seemed pretty tight.
Yeah.
From what I don't remember.
No, that's my experience too. But that was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
I blacked out during the whole thing.
Well, I mean, it makes sense because it is. Also, when I see it, I get it for what it is. Like, you're seeing all of this great concentration of superhero stuff in one contained thing, and you get to see them interact just like you did in the comic books. And, you know, when you look at the fervor across the globe.
Yeah, man.
It, you know, I guess I'm the odd one out.
I mean, this seems like it happens every time a new Avengers movie comes out.
Right.
But, you know, all my friends are texting, like, where they're going to see it, when they're going to see it, like, if they got tickets or whatever. That doesn't happen with really any other movie or franchise. AMC theaters have announced they're going to stay open for 72 hours in a row to make room for all the people who want to see it, and also the fact that it is as long as The Godfather. It is 3 hours long.
What?
It's 3 hours long?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yo, can you imagine?
Bring an extra edible.
I feel bad for people. Yo, good luck keeping your eyes open.
Right.
Man, I saw Fast and Furious 8 off of edible. Pff, fell asleep through the whole zombie car sequence.
Damn.
I just have a problem sleeping in movie theaters. Because
you know why? Like you're very tired.
No, it's the seats are too fucking comfortable now.
Yeah.
Especially those shits that like fully recline.
Yeah.
I'm in a bed at a certain point. Anyway, to the AMC thing, 72 hours. Can you imagine like you're already in a tour? Let's say you're at a 1 o'clock showing.
Right.
And you got to stay all the way up through 4 o'clock. Too old for that.
Yeah. I think I went and saw a movie, a midnight showing of Terminator 2 when I was very young. And that's the only time I've seen a movie that late. That's just...
Oh, you saw Bridge to Terabithia, midnight show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I love going to a midnight movie.
Really?
Yeah, I don't sleep well anyway, so...
Oh, so that's perfect. Right.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Are you looking for any specific outcome in this film?
Nah, I just like when there's
the game ends?
When there's an ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
China has pre-sold $27 million worth of midnight showing tickets alone.
Wow. That's good for you.
I mean, could you even do that in America? Like, I feel like China's just so big that.
I mean, I don't know how that. I'm sure that has to compare to the U.S.
Right.
On some level, even though there are, you know, way more customers out there.
People don't think it's going to be a billion-dollar opening, but that. Idea of a billion-dollar opening, the possibility of a billion-dollar week at the box office has been raised. So
wait, for real?
Yeah, like worldwide, because
right with like, the global might that this
is going to be huge in the United States, and it might be even bigger in China. So, but yeah, for a bunch of actors, this is the end. This is
my only
be
friend
it for RDJ as Iron Man. I think is what people are expecting, and Chris Evans, I know for a like has tweeted about the fact that this is it. So yeah, man.
Ruffalo. I think
Ruffalo.
He's gone. I think he's gone after this.
No.
He's he's just been taking a lot of internet breaks. I'm like, I think he wants out the game.
What do you mean he's taking a lot of internet breaks?
He'll go off Twitter. I'm a big fan.
Oh, okay.
He'll like not be online at all.
Oh, so he's taking care of self right
I think
now.
He does those environmentalist things too.
Right.
So I think he's really maybe taking a step out.
You a fan of You Can Count on Me?
Haven't seen it.
What? And you're a Mark Ruffalo fan?
Yeah.
You should check out You Can Count on Me. My favorite Mark Ruffalo performance. I like Mark Ruffalo a lot.
Okay, I can't wait.
You look sincerely
I'm
into
so
you.
Excited.
You're like, okay.
Yeah.
I'll like watch anything with him.
They have a new Marky Mark movie.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. And we're back, and we have consulted some people from the younger generation on friend in college, a friend or one of our coworkers who is not too far out of college, and they have confirmed that the stomach pump rumor did not persist, which just goes with the Flynn effect that each generation is smarter than the last. So.
Yeah.
I think they're just like, yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, because back in our day, the only like way we could fact check something was to ask someone's older brother
right.
or sister, who was right. probably the origin of the myth. They're like, yeah, dude, it's fucking true.
Yeah, it's a
and
fact.
I'm like, oh, all right. Thanks, Marky.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why I keep saying Mark. Mark Ruffalo, he's on the brain.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe he's the one who told us this rumor.
Better Mark. Wahlberg, Ruffalo.
Ruffalo. Oh, I don't know. Now I answered
I mean,
too quick.
Better in what way?
Like, as a human being.
I don't know.
As a human being, Mark Ruffalo.
Have you seen
come on, dude. Wahlberg gets up at 2 in the morning to work out.
I don't know how many racist attacks Mark Ruffalo has done on people. So.
Have you seen the Wahlberg's television show, reality
Wahlbergers?
Show?
Wahlbergers?
Yes.
No.
It's excellent.
Is it?
Really?
It's excellent. Well, I love
in what sense?
I don't know. I love trash TV.
Yeah, I love trash
TV,
too.
I love reality. Because they're just They're insane. They're just
Are they just angry at each other all the time?
They're just yelling and like talking about restaurant stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's great.
Let's talk about the Supreme Court of the United States. The only subject that can follow that conversation.
Yeah. From the Wahlburgers to the Supreme Court.
And stomach pump.
I mean, this whole thing, right? The Supreme Court has a very, very busy schedule coming up. First, they're going to be who knows whether they're going to come down on the census case on whether or not to include a citizenship question. That will probably, you know, the census people have said they need to know there should be some kind of decision around June when they need to begin printing census materials. But that would be the one that would add a question about citizenship, which most people on the left, they're saying that's going to have a chilling effect on people.
Answering the census.
Yeah, exactly. And then, but you know, the argument on the right is like, well, we need a holistic answer. We need to know we have to keep track of everything. But the census is so important, like in terms of how funding is moved around and things like that, subsidies and the like, that to have this question that they know could prevent people from answering honestly, they're like, this could potentially hurt states that have more illegal immigrant populations or people who are not citizens.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
What's the point of a census if we're not going to have people answering it? Or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, well, it doesn't make any sense to have it if you're going to.
I think on its surface, it's hard to argue with, well, just ask them the question. Like, why wouldn't they answer it? But there's like this huge long history of people being scared to take the census and the census being used to kind of pry and just like dark shit. Like, there's a whole oral history of the census being like a conspiracy by the government. So, like, from a practical perspective, adding this question is basically designed to make the country seem whiter and less diverse than it actually is.
And so it shifts congressional representation, too. It has that effect, too, how things are represented in Congress. And if you do something that is meant to keep some people from answering, then you're like, ha-ha.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm Arab American, and I definitely check white, so I don't know. And maybe that's the problem, but right.
Well, I think it's just I think a lot of people, the question is like you're saying, like, will it affect the accuracy, because people who are undocumented could avoid it altogether or deliberately misreport themselves as legal, so there's no way to really that's why it's like, even if you ask, you don't know how the person is going to answer truthfully, so like, why don't we just get a number of how many just fucking people are here?
Yeah.
We don't need to know how many people are citizens, because if you want to, you can use that information for aims that are less compassionate.
Yeah.
And more,
I mean,
about, you know, maintaining power.
We don't ask sexual orientation or anything on there, right? So I don't know. No. I think that the more detailed and specific it gets, the scarier it gets a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's totally. I think the just sort of shitty defense that they're using from the Trump administration is like, oh, of course not. We're not trying to like do anything evil. Yeah. It's like we just have to know.
Right.
So we can
do evil stuff.
Move in the
right
direction.
Right.
Yeah. And then in addition to that, they're also hearing three very important cases having to do with discrimination against LGBTQ people. That's Altitude Express versus Zarda, Bostock versus Clayton County, RG and GR Harris Funeral Homes versus EEOC. So they aren't just on the surface, it's about people who have been, you know, fired or their employment terminated because of their sexual orientation or gender identification. And Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the way it's written, it prohibits employers from discriminating, quote, against any individual with respect to his compensation, terms, conditions, or privileges of employment because of such individual's race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. And sex meaning gender here. Right. Now, if the Supreme Court, like if they're looking at it just at the text, when you use the term because of sex, that would actually forbid anti-LGBTQ discrimination.
Right.
Because it's the same way, you know, like if you're looking at someone's orientation as a function of their gender or whatever, or their sex.
Right.
And if it doesn't abide by what the employer thinks is right, then they're using that to discriminate against someone. But then you have people on the right, on the Trump administration, who are arguing that, you know, the Civil Rights Act wasn't intending to cover those rights back in 1964, so they're not actually protected. They're using a very narrow view of it.
Right.
And that's where, like, so all of these decisions are going to have a knock-on effect, because it might not just be about these specific cases, but also how the Supreme Court is viewing the Civil Rights Act.
Right.
Which could lead to just bizarre interpretations of what even sexual harassment is.
I also think that if we want to talk about what the intention of that Civil Rights Act was, maybe they would have wanted to cover.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah. And I think
maybe they didn't include it in the verbiage, but maybe they would have wanted to cover.
Well, and that's what even like Antonin Scalia had to sort of face that in a case about male on male sexual harassment.
Right.
And, you know, they use this thing of like the principal evil that the Congress had identified when they passed it. But they're saying, but the language in it does, you know, sometimes it's not about what the people were specifically talking about then, but the language of the law then covers things beyond that.
Right.
And it's whether or not they're going to take that view of it or, oh, well, what did they say when they did this?
Right.
So it's a very, we'll see what happens. But these are three cases to keep our eyes on. Well, four with the census case, just because it could have very bad repercussions in terms of discrimination.
Yeah.
And with, you know, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh on the team now, it's hard to think of how the Supreme Court would decide this that isn't in favor of the Trump administration.
Yeah. I mean, they have surprised some people with regards to, you know, some of their rulings on, I think, abortion rights. But this seems like that more gray area where they're going to side with the Trump administration.
Yeah.
And not even gray area. Just like, I don't know. I just get the vibe that they're going to be fucking assholes about this.
Well, yeah, and it's going to take a very distorted view of the law from the Supreme Court to try and arrive at this conclusion, too.
Right.
Like a potentially upending decades worth of anti-discrimination law.
Right. Let's talk about Joe Biden, shall we?
For a moment.
Yeah. One of my favorite people to discuss.
Sounds like he might
announce
his candidacy tomorrow, Thursday.
Yeah.
But then there are also rumors that maybe it won't be Thursday because his aides are being so specific and tactical of like, well, when do we want it? What messaging do we want to do? When do we do it? But it seems like Thursday is the day.
Yeah.
And he's leading in the polls.
It excites me because I think, and I obviously live in the liberal bubble here, but a lot of my friends have been kind of bickering about who and what and how. And I think a lot of them would be excited to see Joe Biden.
I think a lot of people are excited because of like the familiarity of Joe Biden. And then for me personally, his politics aren't progressive enough for me to be excited because there, I feel like we need a lot of radical change. But when you look at the polling, a lot of the establishment money, the polling data is like the money's on Biden.
Yeah.
But Bernie Sanders is very close. I think it's 27% is Biden, 20% is Sanders, and then there's nobody else with double digits.
Well, didn't
not
it
even
just,
Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah. There was a poll that just came out that had Sanders 5 points ahead of Biden, which I think
it's
might,
always changing, man.
Yeah, I think that might be what kind of put a fire under his ass a little bit, maybe, because it seemed like it's easy to sit out of the race when you're the front runner and you haven't even announced.
Right.
But once you start losing some of that edge to somebody who's picking up momentum and you see, you know, other candidates picking up momentum, and the only thing that you're making headlines about is, you know, kissing people on the back of the head and mashing your foreheads together, then, yeah, it makes sense that he wants to announce now. I was just going to say he's one of my favorite people to discuss when it comes to in the context of conservative Supreme Court nominees, just because he was so helpful on Clarence Thomas.
Oh, yeah. He was team Thomas on that
team
one.
Team Thomas,
I mean,
baby.
Yeah, so we'll see. But at least now, you know, we're starting to move into that phase of the campaign where candidates are actually, like, saying things out loud of substance. And, you know, Elizabeth Warren, she's...
Candidate is saying things. Well, I guess two candidates. Bernie
and I mean,
Elizabeth Warren.
Well, and, everyone kind of has their way of kind of being vague enough that they don't have to get real fully define their positions in case things swing the other way. They don't have to change their position suddenly.
Right.
But, like, with even Elizabeth Warren's announcement of, like, forgiving student debt, and then she even gave a really good answer at a town hall where this young college student was saying, like, you know, I'm an aspiring police officer. What kind of legislation will you put forth to protect police? And she was like, I hear you.
Fuck the pigs.
And then she was just sort of like, I'm going to be real with you. The criminal justice system's fucked up because of racism.
Right.
And then, like, she's like, there's your answer.
Right.
Essentially. But I think her whole idea is, like, the way you would even begin to protect police is to create some sense of trust within the community that the criminal justice system is actually working. And she did like this very, she's got that school teacher energy where she was just like, you know, here's some stats, you know, African Americans are more likely to be arrested for the same crimes than a white person doing the exact same crime, go to trial, and just, you know, boiled it down very easily. And was like, and I think we have to just confront these kinds of things head on to just make the criminal justice system fairer and leaner and more balanced. And I was like, oh, okay.
I like it when people answer the question that they weren't asking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. That they wanted to say.
Right. And I think someone else might just be like, the real politician's answer could have been something like, you know, that's a really great question. And I think we all need to ask ourselves.
Right.
When we live in a community such as this one, who are the people we want to protect? And are those ones that are protecting us, are we doing enough to protect them? And that's something I want to look into.
Miles, I didn't know you were running this year.
Yeah, you know, I'm full of shit. I'm full of shit. But I use it for good, not evil. I mean, I could use it for evil, but you'll see when my line of homeopathic remedies products come out.
Yeah. I mean, Elizabeth Warren is blowing everyone out when it comes to like actually putting forward policy and policy ideas. But that is not a thing that people typically do this early or even at all in a presidential campaign. And I mean,
Hillary did it.
She did.
She put out a ton of white papers.
Yeah.
And then because she was like, well, here are my positions. But it kind of got lost.
It got lost in the mess.
In the campaign.
And that's what I was going to say is I think there's a reason political analysts and, you know, all the fucking terrible people who ruin politics tell you not to do this is because it doesn't get that big of a hit. I'm going to actually read a tweet by Mike Drucker. He tweeted, Elizabeth Warren, and that is why I've created a sustainable plant-based fuel that will allow us to colonize Mars and prevent any future wars over media bursts in media. Hey, everyone, quick, there's a dog on a skateboard running for president. Everyone runs out. I do feel like that is sort of how Elizabeth Warren's being treated a little bit. People, like, she's putting out all these policies. People are like, oh, that's dope. Anyway, Pete Buttigieg, though, man, I like the way he talks.
It's like, no, she just gave a, she just said she was going to cancel student debt for 75% of the country.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
Anyways.
But I want, you know what, you can at me if you're listening on this. One of my favorite things are those surveys where you fill out what you believe and then it tells you which candidate. When those start coming out, send me those.
Oh, yeah.
I love those.
Yeah, it makes it very easy.
Where it gives you like the percentages, because then I'm like, oh, I didn't know I was so closely aligned with Jill Stein or whatever.
right. Well, you know, and I think just to your point about candidates not articulating their positions early on, I prefer if they do, because that's somebody who's saying they already have a vision for what they want to do rather than like, let me just do what's going to actually be the popular thing and I can just, you know, wiggle my way into that position. If you come off the rip saying, these are the things I want, then I'm saying, oh, this is a person who at the very least has a well-defined idea of what principles or values they have as a president.
Right.
Not to say that someone who doesn't have values, but I just, there's something to that if you're confident in what your platform is, then, you know, come on.
And I mean,
Bernie
has had a lot of success just being a policy guy, just being like, these are the things that I stand for. These are like the 5 to 10 policies that I will always say I stand for. And like, that's it. He doesn't have a lot of other like charismatic shit. It's just, he's the guy who has these policies that are fairly easy to understand and very popular. And I think, you know, Elizabeth Warren has really, you know, policies that make sense on a, okay, I just sat down and read a paragraph and it makes sense to me type policies, which is something that I do think in comparing it to Hillary Clinton in 2016, that Hillary Clinton never really had that like coherent, okay, she's like, this is where she stands on everything type thing. Like it feel like it was more like nuanced with her and more yes, but at the same time this and that, like it was a little bit harder to figure out exactly where she was.
Yeah, or I don't know, or just not paying attention because most of us are like, yeah, whatever. You.
Yeah, yeah, more on that later.
Not
yeah,
Trump.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, fine. Good.
Right.
Just not this other guy.
Yeah, that's true.
And then cut to you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm just explaining why I didn't vote for her. I just couldn't. No, I'm just joking.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, the Russian Bureau of Tourism treated you very well on that junket trip you went on.
That's true. Putin is a charismatic leader. I mean, what can I say?
Hey, and hell of a judo practitioner.
Oh,
too, huh?
Dude.
And attractive.
Have you seen him play hockey? I mean, as if you
He scored 20 goals in that game. Because people let him.
I thought he couldn't get more handsome, and then I saw him play hockey, and I was like, what? I saw him nail a slap shot from mid-ice with his
mid-ice,
dick.
Mid-ice, huh?
Just, yeah, yeah.
Not even the, can say like the blue line or something?
Yeah, 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 no, mid-ice.
Mid-ice.
Like mid-court in basketball?
Yeah,
mid-ice.
He did a wrist shot from the other side. Yeah.
Yep.
Penalty box.
Anyways, yeah. he hit it in with his dick was what I was trying
to
say.
It's the fourth quarter. They're on the 3-yard line. I know.
Oh. Miles was a hockey player, and so this is all driving him crazy.
Yeah, well, from someone who would regularly score wrist shots from the blue line. Yeah, that's how nasty my wrist shot game was.
Yeah. Real quick, we should talk about Sri Lanka. Information keeps coming out after those horrifying terror attacks. It now seems like this was specifically a response to the Christchurch terror attacks. That's what security officials from inside Sri Lanka are saying. It's a big fucking mess, but they also had to close down social media, and because of just all the anti-Islamic sentiment that they knew was going to be coming in the immediate aftermath and probably still will be. I mean, there was anti-Islamic sentiment when Notre Dame had a fire because people wanted to be like, it's probably ISIS. That's got to be arson. It's got to be ISIS. So, I mean, this is like wish fulfillment to a certain type of like right-wing European nationalist.
Right. And I think a lot of people in the counter-terrorism sphere of like the intelligence communities around the world were bracing for some kind of response when you have someone terrorizing mosques and killing people as they worship, that they're saying, okay, well, we know how this plays out. These things tend to be eye for an eye kind of thing. And like 300 people, right? Over 300 people lost their lives.
Yeah.
Including like the owner of ASOS.
Yeah. The richest dude in Denmark, him and his wife have 4 kids and they lost 3 of them in the attacks. It's fucking just the worst thing I've ever heard. So yeah, I mean, it's a horrifying story, but it is something that is going to be, I think we're going to be dealing with probably for a long time coming.
I like the idea of shutting down social media, and I want to see how that plays out, because I feel like it's a good call kind of to bring people more into their community and find that kind of support and like close-knittedness that you need during like destructive and tragedy times. Hopefully it like builds something.
I absolutely agree. Well, I think it needs to be like, it should be a mandatory thing in the aftermath of an event like this, because like there's just so much toxic, dangerous shit that happens. And I mean, the fact that we feel that way, and I don't know if it will effectively prevent that sort of thing, but the fact that we feel like you have to shut down social media just points out like how much social media, these like gigantic multi-billion dollar companies have just completely just shit on the social construct of the social contract of like, you know, don't do harm to the society that you're making money off of. They just like don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Well, in Sri Lanka though, too, I think last year, the year before, they were having a lot of Facebook based problems because a lot of fake news was spreading that was leading to violence against Muslim people there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Facebook, they were like, people were begging Facebook to do something about it. They're like, yo, because a lot of people, Facebook is their portal to the internet.
Yeah.
Especially in that country. So, you know, despite people asking Facebook to monitor this, they're like, yo, your inaction is actually causing a lot of problems in this country. I think that was another reason that led to this, because they're like, this time and again, this social media thing has been the source of a lot of conflict. And yeah, for like reasons to whether people can just sort of find support with each other, and also just to keep, like you're saying, just the nasty shit from spreading and exacerbating the problem, is a good call. But also, I think an indictment on social media.
Yes.
When the government is like, what's the first thing to do? Shut that shit down, because we don't want people to get, you know, further energized in the wrong direction or something.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. Quick Menghazi update. Luke Walton, from who he was last year, the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers and was just hired as the coach of the Sacramento Kings, is being sued for sexual assault on a woman who was a reporter, reported on the Lakers. Luke Walton was supposedly going to write a foreword to a book that she was releasing. He met her at a hotel, asked her up to his room to, I don't know, see a book or something. The specific details of, like, the things he said, it just, like, paints such a clear picture of, like, an entitled douchebag who's, like, just
right
thinks he's...
Well, and also that your response after assaulting somebody is being flippant and
yes.
just saying, like, nice to see you.
Yes. She reported that since the incident, when he saw her, he would hug and kiss her and say stuff like, "You're killing me with that dress." So yeah, just a...
Is he being... So it's not a police matter? It's like a civil lawsuit?
I think it's a civil lawsuit. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's a statute of limitations thing. I'm not sure.
Got it.
But yeah, if true, which I tend to think it is, what a disaster of a human being.
Well, I just appreciate you for telling me who Luke Walton was. I had no idea.
He's one of the shittiest coaches of the Lakers and one of the shittiest players who got a contract he should have never got.
Yeah, a shitty human being, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just shit all around.
Well, Wisconsin, guys, let's get to some...
Brass tacks here.
Brass tacks. Important news. Wisconsin, it has been announced as the number one state for frozen pizza consumption.
That is a sick title to have.
That is awesome.
I thought they had just legalized weed or something.
Right.
But it turns out this was like just some insider information that was being shared.
They need to put that on their license plates, on all of the signs when you're entering Wisconsin.
Welcome to everybody's blood type is DiGiorno.
Right.
Apparently there are people, like a lot of people are interested. It's like, what is it about Wisconsin? Yeah. What the fuck is going on? Like, you'd think that would be, like I thought would be a state where people are smoking wild weed all the time and just eating frozen pizza. But someone that was asked for a comment the state's appetite for frozen pizza lies in its population's ties to Norwegian immigrants. So noting that Norway is the only country that eats more frozen pizza per person than America.
Wow.
Huh.
And I'm like, wait, what? And this is kind of a trend throughout the rest of the Midwest also. Which they say eats about twice the rate of frozen pizza as the rest of the country. But also, Wisconsin is the home to DiGiorno and Tombstone and Jack's. So I think that's a thing.
They love cheese there, right?
Yeah. So,
yeah. I mean, that is the one thing.
Is the pizza in restaurants there good? I feel like this is the only thing that...
They have like Milwaukee style. I mean, they have their own style of pizza. I don't know. That's where Zeitgang look. If you're a Wisconsin pizza head, what's good?
Yeah.
What am I supposed to know
here?
Tell people what they should be getting instead of that. But I mean, it's also like, when I lived in Missouri for a couple of years, I definitely saw my consumption of frozen pizza go up just because it's like money saving, easy to do at home. You don't go out as much. At least when I was living there, I didn't go out as much. So it was just like, yeah, this will do.
I like that Norway has this insatiable appetite for frozen pizza. That's what's interesting to me, too.
Yeah, I love that.
I wonder if it's because of the cold and just not wanting to open the door when a delivery person comes.
or you could just store your frozen pizzas outside your door.
Yeah, that's
you don't have
true.
To put them in your fucking freezer. Yeah. You're just like, hey, yo, go out back and grab a pizza off the pile.
Right.
Just toss it in the oven.
Do you guys fuck with any frozen pizza in particular?
The grosser the better.
Yeah.
You know, like when it's trying to be like a respectable pizza, I'm like, you don't gotta do all that. Like, we know what this is. It's a frozen pizza.
My boyfriend makes fun of me because I dress it up.
Oh.
And he's like, why do you gotta fix it? Like, why? He's like,
wait, so how do you
I'll like
pack it up?
I'll put like Italian seasoning on it or like sliced garlic.
Oh,
like,
shit.
If we have any meat in the house, I'll throw it on. Extra cheese.
Okay.
That kind of shit.
And is it, I'm sure it actually does improve it, or does it feel like
it cooks the same. I mean, yeah, but if you, I don't know, it makes me feel better about eating it.
Right, you're like, I ain't no regular ass one. Right. I put one basil leaf on here.
Exactly.
There was like one, there was a type that I used to always eat that was like $2 per pizza, and I can't remember what it was. It had like a
red
Baron? Italian grandma on it, and it was like small.
Oh, Mama.
Yeah, Mama Celeste.
Mama Celeste, right?
Yeah, that shit was.
You guys ever leave the cardboard on? The worst.
Oh, like in the
Throw
oven?
It in the oven, yeah.
Oh, hell. I mean, the I probably worst. Did that once, the and then it's. Was smoking up my house, yeah, and I didn't know what the fuck was going on, yeah, and I quickly knocked that off.
It's terrifying. Not Mama Celeste, unfortunately.
Or just Celeste?
And I'm not going to... Yeah, not, it's not Celeste either.
What is it?
Because I can't find it. I'll update.
It was like a generic
tomorrow.
Kroger brand,
yeah,
one.
It
just
might
called
be.
Pizza.
It might be. But it had real crispy crust. And
a lot of them,
yeah,
do.
Yeah, especially when you just burn it a little.
Or
bit.
Was the... yeah, Red Baron. I think they would have that at my school cafeteria in high school. But anyway... Get your Celeste on. Okay, and DJ Daniel is pointing furiously at his notepad that says, Tony's.
Tony's. Maybe that's it?
Yeah, see, that one, that's kind of, that's the kind of garbage I'm talking about when I look at it. Yeah, you don't want it to really look like pizza. It's like, I just want a round disc of cheese and bread.
Yeah, it's like cafeteria, like school cafeteria level pizza is what you're kind of working with.
And let us know, Zygang, what the best frozen pizza is.
Yeah.
If it is, in fact, DiGiorno. I prefer Boboli.
Oh, for real?
No. I just remember the 80s. They would always say that in commercial, and I always wanted to get the fully baked pizza like dough that they would have at the store, and my mom never obliged. To this day, I've not had it.
I grew up in an Italian restaurant, so...
Oh, you did?
Yeah, my mom, I would make a lot of pizzas.
Can you toss the dough?
Yeah, not that well.
Okay.
Oh, so you... That maybe that's a secret.
Why
hack
I
want
to make.
Oh, of course, yeah. Because to you, it feels like fucking blasphemy to just have you like, yo, right. We gotta put something on here.
Feels like home.
Like, yeah.
To do it.
What's the name of the restaurant?
Sorrento.
And is this in Texas?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
Sorrento. Mm-hmm.
I bet some listeners know about
good
that
pizza.
Restaurant.
Pizza.
Hey.
Have you ever had Rao's homemade marinara sauce?
That oh, Rao's.
No.
Rao's.
Or I call it Rao's, but nah.
Rao's is probably right. You haven't had it?
No, I've
it's more
there,
expensive,
but
it's fucking good, man.
Well, the restaurant is very good.
Did
my
you
favorite,
know?
My favorite, like they solved pasta sauce as far as I'm concerned.
Did you know Bon Jovi has a pasta sauce?
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
Have you had it?
No. Have you?
It is, no.
It is dog shit.
It is
I'm sure
slippery
it's
all right. When wet. No, it's gross. It's just gross that he has one. Jean Bon Jovi. That was offensive, and I apologize to
all
our
right,
Italian
Tony's pizza.
Listeners. All right, guys, let's talk about Playboy Club, where I grew up inside a Playboy Club. Apparently, not doing so hot.
They are not doing well.
Yeah.
You know, as someone who used to work at Playboy,
you're an alum.
Yeah, just like Jamie Loftus.
Mm-hmm.
Things aren't going well over there. And Hugh Hefner's son, I believe, is a driving force behind bringing nudity back to the magazine and also going like just pedal to the metal with opening up this Playboy Club, mm-hmm. which, you know, if you recall, we had an opportunity to hear from Gloria Steinem recently, mm-hmm. and she famously worked at a Playboy Club undercover to write about it. And when she heard that it opened, she's like, how is this even opening now?
Right.
Because most people are like, who is this for? And apparently, one of their biggest problems, it seems to be the service, because page six, they're getting very messy, and they have a service like, yo, it's hell in there, apparently. But essentially, the managers are just, they say, are more worried about how the prospective hires looked in a corset and fluffy tail than their relevant experience in the service industry. Service has been so bad that new management had to be brought in, and they fired half of the bunny staff. Now the club has hired real waiters and culled the bunnies, although it has kept some of the floppy-eared friends on with adjusted job descriptions and slashed paychecks. So now they're basically just having the bunnies just take the drinks from the bar to the tables rather than like actually doing any of the waiting and things like that. And they've like slashed their pay from $40 an hour to $25 an hour. The thing's just kind of in free fall. And when you look at the Yelp reviews, I was like, what's Yelp got to say? It's a mix between like people who are like Wall Street bros who are like, oh, it's fucking sick, dude. It's the tightest fucking place. Feel like a fucking king. Then there are people who are like, the food is shit. Then there are other people saying it's not toxic enough for them. Hmm. They're like, dude, they're not even hot in there. One star for that. People are like, one star because it's so aggressively like out of touch. So, you know, it's being pulled in many directions, but there's also a lot of five-star reviews that I suspect are maybe friends of the people who run it.
Right.
Because they're like the vague ones, like, you know, the homie five-star Yelp right. reviews mm-hmm. here were like, oh, great time. Five right. stars, no detail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
Really loved it. Awesome uh-huh. place. Food was sick. I mean, I got sick from the food.
that's right. So I've never been to one of these. I actually didn't know they existed prior to this story. It sounds like it's like a mix between a strip club and a theme restaurant, like a Jekyll and Hyde type
yeah,
thing.
it's like a Hooters if it went to college.
Right.
Or something. Like, it's like this weird fake air of sophistication, but it's still the same ogle the server staff type vibe, but like also made, you know, that's trying to create that Playboy shit that they're
right.
chasing of
okay.
like the dude who walks in and is like, you know, fawned over by beautiful women and blah, blah, blah.
So I think actually they should lean into the strip club model a little bit more and have the bunnies be the entertainment. They don't have to dance or anything, but they can talk to the patrons and like then have real good servers.
Yeah, they just don't know. That's the problem with this company is like they just don't know. They had a club in LA that was on the Sunset Strip that was like this little tiny bar. And it was just like another business that wasn't ran well where, you know, the yeah. thing that like the battle cry in that company is that like the Playboy Bunny is like, I think the second or first most recognized logo on Earth, like without context. People
right.
know what it is. And
behind
that,
Jordan, what do you think?
Behind the swoosh, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe Adidas. But like those are like people just no matter where continent, like internationally know that logo. And they're just sort of coasting off the strength of that thing and without realizing, like, it's a dying brand that's left over from a bygone era.
Yeah.
And they've not really been able to figure out how to evolve with the time. So I think they've just resorted to their old ways and just hope, like, well, we'll just catch the people who still think this is, like, a thing they want.
Yeah. It's a little bit too late for sure. But I don't know. I feel like they can make it work.
Yeah, like right. If you're going to...
If they, like, did it right.
If you're going to be, like, a brand that's about objectifying women, they're half-assing it. And that's why people are like confused. If you're just gonna be a disgusting brand that's gonna just like full on just be like, yeah, come in, like you can just talk wild to these bunnies and do whatever the fuck you want, like just
yeah.
be some gross dude. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But I think trying to thread the needle of being like, it's fine dining plus like
yeah,
women
no.
in corsets. And like, it's just like people are like, I don't know what to make sense of this place.
Yeah. I mean, Hooters for sophisticated people seems to be like, by definition, like an error, like does not compute. Those two things don't really overlap in a way that...
Oh, sophisticated people can't like the sight of a beautiful woman, Jack?
Oh, God. I remember, like, when you were talking about the Playboy Club, I thought we were talking about the 2011 TV show where they were trying to make the Playboy Club. I think it was basically... Mad Men came out, they saw that was a hit, and they were like, Playboy was like, how do we get in on this? So they
Oh, they had a show?
They had a show. Let's see here. First episode date, September 19th, 2011. Final episode date, October 3rd, 2011. They aired three episodes.
Whoa. What network was it on?
NBC. It was like a big
shit.
Bet. Yeah. A lot of dudes walking around in suits being like, the Playboy Club is going to change everything.
Right.
But it had the bunny logo in the title. So it was like an official Playboy joint.
Right,
where
right,
they were
right.
like, our brand is going to explode.
Yeah, well, because the people who owned it up until recently were just like a licensing company.
Right.
Who they were getting their money out of owning Playboy by just slapping the logo on anything and selling it.
Right. And then a dude who... has no experience running restaurants or clubs was like, I'm going to take this over.
Yeah.
And has no experience doing anything except being Hugh Hefner's son.
Working in that place is a time warp. I couldn't believe the shit I would hear working in there.
Yeah.
Even from the Playmates, man. Some of those Playmates had some racist ass fucking takes on shit.
Jesus Christ.
Like, cause I was there like in the midst of the election heating up. So
for
the
2016?
Yeah, 2016, like going into 2016 and like, there were just times, not even having to do with the election itself, but like, you know, when I was doing video there, we would be like, make content, like, look, let's do a profile on this Playmate or whatever, and asking about like people they would date. Regularly, I would have to cut shit out. I'm like, That was racist. They're like, no thugs. Like, I don't like thugs. Like, I'm not about thug life. Or like saying shit like that. And you're like, oh, boy, I'm like, you'll cut all this shit out. But yeah, look, shout out to y'all. Got some healthcare from y'all. So, good on you. Good on you.
Good on you then. Yeah. And Kanye had Sunday service on Easter. It was... I thought it was cool, the part that I watched of it. For some reason, they shot it through a fisheye lens.
Yeah, because that's how myopic his eyesight is and his vision for the future. Yeah.
It was like, would you want to watch this live? Now, would you want to watch this live if you had a detached retina?
Right, and glaucoma, and you were a fish.
That was the vibe. but the music was good, and I think they were selling crew neck sweatshirts for like $300. So, you know, spiritual.
You know,
shit.
That's because he's still preaching that Yeezus shit. You know what I mean? Because he's disrupting the whole business. And he's selling fucking merchandise for $225, $300.
He didn't really even rap like more than a couple verses, but it was just like a cool band playing live gospel and Kanye tracks with the gospel choir.
So. Yeah, but I mean, doesn't like hit, what an ego, huh?
What?
I'm recontextualizing a church service, so the choir is singing my songs.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to hop around and do all that.
Look. It was very surreal because there was like a small group in the middle of this giant field, and then the crowd was like held back from them.
Yeah.
It was weird, man.
Look, wake me up when he wakes up.
Right.
How about that?
I'll take a free sweatshirt if anyone has one.
Yeah, shit.
Sell it for a grand.
If anybody's got a free $225, $300 sweatshirt.
I mean.
Wait, Miles, didn't you know he has arisen? The Easter.
Kanye?
Yeah.
You didn't know? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's what Easter's about?
Yeah.
Sometimes I lose track of Easter. That's why it's called Good Friday.
Maybe I'm misunderstanding this. Yeah.
It's for good music.
Friday, and then Good Jesus Friday. Did I get that wrong? I did go to church.
What church
on
did you go to?
Yeah. It was the Church of YouTube live stream from Coachella.
No. Okay.
All right. Well, Lisa, it's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Where can people find you and follow you online?
You can find me on the internet at ASILNOUX or find my comedy dates at lisachanoux.com.
All right. How are you spelling Chanoux there?
Chanoux.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Yeah, I really like this one from @Lursman. Knowing how to roll joints is the new knowing how to drive stick.
Hey!
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @MilesOfGray. Some tweets I like were actually from all the listeners who responded with their regional versions of the stomach pump myth. So let me just very quickly, I want to shout y'all out. Shout out to Anna Claire Hodge for saying that who has been online dating, she has come across George Zimmerman's profile as well. Sorry that you had to see that.
Wow.
Sense Nor Sensibility, at Sense Nor Sensibility. Shout out to you for saying the myth in your region was Alanis Morissette and Britney Spears. Also, Sam Z said in Virginia in the 90s, it was also Alanis Morissette. So it seems like the big anti-Alanis sentiment out there.
Yeah, that song
you
about
going
down on somebody in the theater must have really fucked them up.
David Coulier.
David
That's who
Coulier.
Was in the theater.
Yeah.
You are the first person I've heard refer to him as David Coulier.
Well, they're very,
Dave, we're very close.
You go way back with him to when he was a child.
You know, David's so funny. He only goes by Dave.
I don't think his name is David, actually.
It's Dave.
Just Dave.
Yeah. Oh, you mean like legally like his legal name is Dave?
Yeah, I feel like he's just Dave.
That would be
his parents were like, this guy is going to be a prop comedian. We should just
get out with the formalities.
The ID out and just go with Dave. Rob Delaney tweeted, just saw the new Avengers and the audience went nuts when Shrek showed up and saved the day. And I also like
Hell
that
yeah.
Trek. Mike Drucker, Elizabeth Warren tweet. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's the song we're going to ride out
I'm feeling
on
so
today?
Psychedelic right now.
Whoa.
And so Japanese. So let's take it to a Japanese psychedelic rock band that I really like called Kikagaku Moyo, which means geometric patterns. But they are, I saw them years ago. And like people were like, these dudes are trippy. And they played one of the trippiest psych sets I had ever heard or witnessed.
Here in LA?
Yeah. Out in the desert, actually. At like this thing called Desert Days. And they've just been kind of slowly getting their shine on, and people are starting to come around to them more. So this is a song by them called Nazo Nazo. And yo, if you like psychedelic shit, like they have all kinds of little other genre influences in the band, check out their music. Really dope. And that's spelled Kikagaku Moyo. Kikagaku Moyo.
Yeah, everybody knew that. Why? How'd you think we thought you'd spell it?
Yeah, American people say Kikagaku Moyo.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Not me.
I gotta honor the language.
Never that. All right.
Unless it's Marie Kondo, then I say it like how American people do.
Oh, also check out our merch store, Zeitgeist. Where are we?
T-Public?
T-Public.
Yeah.
The Zeitgeist store with the Zeitgeist mouth, which is the fifth most recognizable logo in the world.
Yeah.
Behind Jordan Brand, the Apple.
And the Red Cross.
Nike swoosh and the Red Cross. Anyways, that's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we will talk to you then. Bye.